Mother Riot is talking to a little neighbor boy. "Hi, Tommy. How is your baby brother?" Tommy responds, "Okay, I guess, but he sure is loud when he's crying. Mommy said she got him from heaven. I guess that's why God gave him away." Yes, children can be loud. None of our Neelan children are anywhere near as loud as Tommy's little brother in this joke, and we all love them all. My point here is that children do not have to be young or little to be children. There are vast numbers of adult children living among us. Among them are very elderly children, in other words, senior citizens who never actually grew up. Maybe you know one of them. Last Wednesday, a few of us were privileged to attend the Destination Life benefit dinner for Coalition Life here in St. Louis, held in the relatively short, currently unused Concourse B in Terminal 1 of Lambert Field. The keynote speaker was former abortionist, current OBGYN, Dr. Anthony Levitino. During his absolutely excellent address, about half a dozen young women dressed provocatively in sparkles, silks, and rainbows approached the podium and took over the stage. One attempted to douse the speaker with a soft drink, but little, if any, of it reached its mark. Though many of us had at first thought this was part of his presentation, in just a few seconds, armed police officers approached and rounded up the pro-choice, pro-death protesters. I thought to myself, why did they do this? What did they hope to accomplish, other than a couple minutes of unplanned entertainment? They accomplished absolutely nothing. Dr. Levitino commented to them as they were being led away, "Nice try." I asked the Lord why they had gone to all the trouble to initially disguise themselves as pro-lifers who were supporting Coalition Life, who then, in the words of one witness, began shedding their outer clothing, revealing their real selves as they moved toward the front, loudly chanting something that I couldn't understand. Holy Spirit spoke to me, saying, "They're children." And indeed, that is exactly what they are. In other words, they're immature adults who simply don't know any better. They're actually a little different from the Roman soldiers and the Jewish authorities who condemned Lord Jesus to die by crucifixion. Recall how our Lord prayed for them, saying, as recorded in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." In short, they were all children, ignorant, unlearned in the ways of God, unfamiliar yet with the true nature of life and the creation, living life totally dependent on the forbearance and grace of God and His people, all the while thinking they're smart and wise and successful in this world. While in truth, they don't even know who they really are or what the world even is, because they're children. But whose children are they? Certainly not God's children, at least not yet. For now they are the children of men, descendants of Adam, offspring of Noah. Adam was the original human child of God, a son of God. By virtue of being created by Father God's very own hands, Adam was a child of God, but in the most general sense only. For once he sinned, he was now so completely estranged from fellowship with God, it was as though he had totally lost his status as a child of God. And all of Adam's descendants from then on, while still retaining the image of God in their physical beings, were children of man, not children of God. Children of God means something far greater and magnificent than children of men. For once anyone accepts God's free but costly beyond imagining gift of Lord Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, exchanging our inescapable sentence of death because of our own personal sins against the Creator God with Christ's death, and then taking on His eternal life, we then also exchange our status from being children of men to become children of God. Armed with this understanding, we can now perceive the world and all its people, seeing who everyone is. We're all children, but whose? And those of us who are children of God, like real children, don't technically remain children. We grow up into Christ Jesus. We gradually become more and more like Him. We grow up and put away childish things and childish thoughts. God Himself proclaims our change of status, as Romans 8, 16 and 17 states, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. We become, as 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 declares, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So in contrast to us who are now specifically children of God and no longer children of man or the world, we become the true adults of this world, exercising dominion over this earth as God intended from the beginning of our earth. This is one major component of what Christ came to restore. Back when Adam and Eve had not long been on this earth, the devil, taking the form of a serpent, hoodwinked Eve and Adam, beguiling them to seek that one little thing which God had forbidden, one little sin, and their right to wield authority over this world was neatly negated. And this world has been an absolute mess ever since, with some eras worse than others. God, in His incomprehensible love for us, His wavered creatures, then sent Christ Jesus to restore us back to being His children and His governors over this earth. As we can all see, there's still quite a ways to go before all is restored. But in not too much longer, when Christ Jesus returns, everything remaining will be reset back to the way it was always meant to be. So when we look around and see young women screaming at the tops of their lungs, demanding their right to kill their own children, even years after their babies are born, we can love and pity them, realizing they know not what they're doing. For they're but children, like real babies crying just because they feel bad in some way or other. They simply don't know any better. And because that's the case, we have compassion for them and easily pray for them. We can treat them as tenderly as the Lord Jesus has treated us until we've fully come into His loving embrace. Sure, we can't excuse their behavior, even if their allies in the media, leftist politicians, and judges are biased to rule in their favor, let them off scot-free. Still, we, being on God's side, cinched with the belt of truth, feet shod with the gospel of peace, protected by the helmet of salvation, armored with the breastplate of righteousness, holding the shield of faith, and wielding the sword of the Spirit, can not only hold the ground of truth and righteousness in our world, but take more and more ground for the everlasting kingdom of our Lord in Christ. The Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade didn't just happen. Millions of Christians prayed for June 24th to come, not just in America, but around the world. And its overthrow is a great breakthrough. But the war is far from over. If anything, we need to pray even more, but with laser-focused prayers that target different and more specific individuals and situations. For example, we prayed for those six or so young women who attempted to disrupt the Destination Life dinner last Wednesday night. The sooner they come to salvation, the less their regret over their past sins will be. This Tuesday, in addition to us, four other states will be holding their primary elections: Arizona, Kansas, Michigan, and Washington. A fifth, Tennessee, holds theirs this Thursday. So be praying for those states as well. But especially pray for Kansas. Our neighbor to the west has on their ballot a constitutional amendment titled Value Them Both. This amendment will overturn a past Kansas Supreme Court ruling that nullified all local laws restricting abortions in that state. The ruling, unconstitutional as was the federal Roe v. Wade, will be overturned by Value Them Both. The amendment will restore Kansas' constitution and close the door on unlimited abortions in Kansas, saving countless lives. Please pray for our western neighbors that Kansas will vote yes, paving the way for increasing restrictions, that Kansas, too, like Missouri, becomes an abortion-free state. As I've said before, abortion is a pivotal issue, and its overturn opens the door for God to bless America once again and reinstate the restraining power of Holy Spirit to lead the millions of ignorant children of men to see the folly and evil of their ways and truth of His Word, that they gradually turn away from the devil's ways and to the salvation of Lord Jesus. For God said in Deuteronomy 30:19, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Pray that you become as pro-life as God. Keep praying for life. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you have put us into this great body called the body of Christ that knows no boundaries, knows no distinctions, knows no races. Thank you that we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Kansas and for the whole state, that they may vote yes on that Value Them Both amendment that values both the mother and their unborn child. Thank you for these blessings of life, and help us as individuals always to choose your ways, to choose life. In Jesus' name, amen.